We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gilcast. You're either listening to this on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast feed or the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Football feed. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by Nate Noling, not Sammy Reed. Guy just takes a fucking vacation in the middle of football season.
In the middle of NFL.
And by the way, didn't ping us, wasn't like, oh, yeah, by the way, like, plan for this. Like, maybe Peter can come on. Like, maybe you guys can do a bit. Nope, he was just like, all right, I'm not going to be there. And I was like, all right, well, I know our good friend.
The night before he took off on his trip.
I mean, truly unbelievable stuff from Mr. Reed. So although Sammy just bailing and like hanging out in Puerto Vallarta, a better performance than my team's today. Man, did I eat some shit. And Blender, I was prepared to, I love to hate. It's my thing. I love to be a hater. Your team is you're the team that Blender HD played was the correct pre-lock team, in my opinion. I think you had the best team, Jordan.
We'll go over our teams. The Michael Carter news,
like I literally fucking ruined my whole goddamn. I had this team that Jordan has. That's very good. That cash, no problem, was what I had saved. It was what I was playing. And then all of a sudden, James Robinson inactive, for some reason, I thought was the most important news of the day.
Okay, I do like Blender's team, but I will say the fact that neither one of you rolled T. Higgins in cash is an absolute mistake. Like, T. Higgins was the best wide receiver play on this slate.
But and it's about lineups, Nate. It's about
and
lineups.
The fact that none of you played
the best, the best lineups did not have T in them. If you were running the optimals on Saturday night, he was getting in there. But the total dropping that game by 4 points removed him. It knocked him down like 2 points. He was not in anyone's optimal.
to move off of T. Higgins because of the weather in this spot is just, it's just bad. It's just bad. The late news shook so many people, moved people onto Michael Carter, moved people. I mean, it was a great day. It was a great day because the fish played bad.
It didn't move enough people off of fucking Garrett Wilson, though. I'll tell you what. Oh man. Oh, and people who are a fan, the most legendary rant in the history of this show is of course about Mark Andrews. Just stay tuned. We'll stay tuned.
But I wanna highlight that I had nothing against T. Higgins. Like
if I could have
played T. Higgins in my lineup, I preferred T. Higgins over Chris Godwin. Absolutely. $900 difference. My thought process. My optimal from an aggregate perspective was essentially Davis's your lineup, kind of like that. My aggregated optimal, taking all the projections, everything, and this is at 11:30, you know, after inactives, was like Smith, Carter, White, Wilson, Allen, Hopkins, Andrews, Wilson Jr., Chiefs defense, and I'm sitting there going, in my attitude, sometimes it's a leak. But I try to avoid fragile situations. So, like, on a slate with so much value at running back,
it was fucking stupid. Samaj Perine and Michael Carter's projection were the same, but there was a much greater assumption going in Michael Carter's projection. I'm an idiot. I can't. All right. Anyway,
Break down the team.
Yeah, we got to do.
What
we gotta
you rolled
do the
out
teams.
Was an abomination. What you rolled out was an absolute abomination.
You have to give it a. Davis swapped on a ton of stuff. He didn't really.
Okay,
have
no,
sky
I'm saying
wars.
What he had at noon was an abomination.
It was bad, and I'll tell you why it was bad. So this was the team I played. I started out with Geno Smith, Jeff Wilson Jr., Rashad White, Treylon Burks, DeAndre Hopkins, Keenan Allen, Mark Andrews, Michael Carter, and the Chiefs defense. Nate played.
Well, Jeff Wilson. I mean, I just want to highlight that your lineup was essentially the other than Wilson or Burks, like one off of what I just said. I mean, like, I don't think it's an abomination.
No,
it
because
is.
I will.
Fading
I will
T
get...
and Kenneth Walker. Fading T and
oh,
Kenneth
fading,
Walker
I,
is.
I disagree.
Bad.
I disagree with that. Nate is
Kenneth
missing
Walker. You got lucky. You got.
You're missing.
Lucky.
You're missing on what I did that is so bad. And when I show it to you, you're gonna think I'm even dumber than you do right now. Nate played Geno Smith, Jeff Wilson Jr., Rashad White, Tyreek Hill, T. Higgins, Garrett Wilson, Hayden Hurst, Kenneth Walker, and the Chiefs defense. Blender played Geno, Jeff Wilson, Rashad White, DeAndre Hopkins, Keenan Allen, Chris Godwin, Hayden Hurst, Chiefs defense. So that's what I had, Blender, so this is what happened, is one is I was like, I really want to play T over Chris Godwin. I really wanted to find a way to get T and DeAndre Hopkins in together. There wasn't a way to do it without playing like a 3K wide receiver. I texted our group chat this morning. I almost just played Sky Moore in cash. I almost just played that lineup with Sky, Mark Andrews, and Kenneth Walker because it would have fit. I almost did it. I couldn't stray that far from the projections. But Nate, what you're missing that I did that was so unbelievably stupid was it was three steps, and each step is dumber than the next. The first step was the weather for the Jets is really bad. Pouring rain, 25-mile-an-hour winds. Their team total doesn't really adjust. Doesn't make any difference to me because I'm an idiot. So I'm like, you know what? Instead of playing Garrett Wilson, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play Treylon Burks. Their projection's basically the same. Treylon Burks is $100 less, yada, yada, so on and so forth. Maybe more pass-friendly game script. Then I say, okay, well, I still want to play a Jet because their team total's good. James Robinson's out. Michael Carter's going to be stepping into a larger role. But I don't want to play two Jets. I don't want to play Michael Carter and Garrett Wilson. So I'm going to play Michael Carter as my Jet, and I'm not going to play a Bengal at all. So what I did was stupid, was I gave up points twice because Wilson was projected a hair better than Burks, and Perine was projected a hair better than Carter. So I fucking gave up projections two times just because of honestly just mentally weak fish logic of not wanting to play two Jets. It's what I should have just fucking played B Ryan.
Yeah.
It was just bad. It's just bad.
You just got shook by late news. And I think of all
the I didn't want to play Hayden Hurst. I also didn't want to play Hayden Hurst.
If we redid this morning and all the news that came out this morning came out on Wednesday, you would have not ended up with the lineup you had today. You would have had something.
No, I would have played I would have played Jordan's team. I would have played Jordan's team.
I don't think you would have faded T.
It's a lineup, Nate. It's a
lineup. The best lineups did not have T.
Think of this. This is my thinking on this lineup. This was the second highest optimal in my. Basically, if you X'd out Carter, you got my lineup. On a slate with so much running back value. Okay. Now, I play Kenneth Walker, so don't yell at me for not playing Kenny Walker because I had the money to play Kenny Walker. Do I play Kenny Walker or do I play T. Higgins? They're the same price. I play Kenny Walker. I didn't want to rely on the why am I playing 4K wide receivers on a slate where I already have all the running back value? Like 4K wide receivers are typically more fragile and they're better used on slates where there isn't that much value. You have to kind of like punt in one spot. We have no problem punting at tight end. I never have a problem no matter what the construction is. Do I need Andrews? No. I'm fine with Hayden Hurst. I'm fine with any punt tight end. I'm okay with that.
I guess looking at my shit, what the biggest actual mistake was just playing Andrews because that's what led into the horrible decision.
I don't think paying up a tight end was that much of a mistake. I think anybody who rolled Andrews or Kelsey, it was fine. I just think maybe I just don't see the floor on Garrett Wilson as low as Blunder does here. Because I actually think the Garrett Wilson Tyreek combo that I had.
Well, Blender doesn't know that White is fucking, he's Roger Staubach back here. They've just been keeping a Hall of Fame quarterback on the bench.
I mean, I felt great about my team, and Tyreek was like, this was a like low 30 percentile outcome for Tyreek. Like Tyreek should have smashed in this spot. You tell me that. Like,
Also got 26 points from Garrett Wilson. So like, I am aware his range of like I'm not doubting Wilson's ceiling. Like I prefer Wilson to Zay Jones, who also had a great game, or Mac Hollins or anything. It's just that my thinking is that I look at my lineup.
Are you just rubbing it in that any 4K wide receiver I could have played over?
Well, I'm rubbing it into myself because I barely
literally
played any
anything
Wilson.
Davis could have done. You could
literally
done like
literally
every
everything.
2v2 you.
I mean, dude, it's like unbelievable. Like even the 1v1 of because I had a space for Lockett, Keenan Allen, or Chris Godwin in my lineup, and I ended up having to swap off of Keenan Allen anyway. But if I would have just played Godwin, I wouldn't have made all these horrible dipshit galaxy brain swaps, and I would have just been fine.
Nate, can you at least admit something? If I gave you the choice to play a lineup with 3 out of 4 of these wide receivers, and you knew that the rest of the lineup you're fine with, and the 4 wide receivers are Hopkins, Allen, Godwin, or Higgins, and you look just from a PPR, like, can I how safe am I to get 15 points from like all of the at least 15 from all of these guys, where a 4K guy could be 8, it could be 24, it could be one of, like, if I could get 3 of those 4, that's what I thought. Can I get 3 of those 4 receivers and not play a 4K guy? I would be fine with. And yes, Godwin was the 4th out of that list, but he's also 900 cheaper than T. And I prioritized Kenny Walker over T. Higgins rather than play Samaje Perine instead of Godwin, or and then play like the Jets defense instead of the Chiefs defense and do something like that. Like, I just viewed that Kenny Walker, which I agree with you. You said before, like, I prefer Kenny Walker to T. Higgins.
He was the best fucking play of the slate. What did I? Why am I? Why
I don't
did I
know
play
what you
team?
Did, Davis. You literally
I,
got
this
off
is
like
so bad.
You got off 2 of the best plays of the slate, and then you just did weird stuff. It makes no sense.
Was just to play dumbass Mark Andrews, who's a dumbass, and I should know. I should know that any week that it's not clear that Andrews is the lock, like when Andrews is just borderline a good play, like good points per dollar, but not like insane. The matchup is fine, but not unreal. I should just know he's absolutely bound to take that knife and twist it in my ribcage because this dude, this
Mark,
guy,
Mark,
I mean, it is unreal, dude. I swear, he just, like, I don't know. What does this dude do in practice? Because he is wide open in the end zone. Lamar sees him. He's got it in his hands. Ball is in his hands. No one's around him. No one's tackling him. No one's touching him. And he just drops it. He has the touchdown in his hands. 8-point play, right? And it's just like, nah, I'm good. And then, I mean,
he's just the dollar store Josh Oliver, Davis.
It's unbelievable. And the Josh Oliver shit. I mean, you know, you're on red zone and you see a guy in the 80s, you know, streaking down the sideline and you're like, oh, boom, Mark Andrews. Nope, Josh Oliver. And honestly, even just to stick it in even more, you know, when you have your guy in DFS and the team goes to do the Hail Mary and you're like, oh, I hope my guy catches the initial pass to start the lateral stuff. Nope, doesn't go to Mark Andrews, goes to Josh Oliver. I mean, Isaiah likely didn't play in this game. Like, Andrews had, like, one of his highest snap shares of the
season.
Likely
played, didn't he?
No, he was out. Likely was out. Oh. That was why Andrews was popping so much, was because Likely was out.
The fact that Hayden Hurst outscored Andrews, like, made my day. The fact that you paid up and did whatever you did.
No, listen, it doesn't end there. Garrett Wilson outscores Burks, right? And Michael Carter gets outscored by 20 by Perine. Not even close. Hayden Hurst outscores Andrews. Godwin dominates every other 6K wide receiver. And I mean, the true chef's kiss in the end is that I played Davante Adams in a game that ends with 74 points scored and he gets 14 points. I mean, that really, in terms of late swap equity, it is just it's a tough day. It was a tough day, guys.
Yeah, it was a tough day.
You guys played good, Nate. I'm not convinced that the 2v2 before lock of Mark Andrews and whatever wide receiver instead of Tyreek is better, though. Like, I guess I don't know exactly how much salary it was.
I saw Nate's team. I'm like, okay, I get Tyreek. I mean, I think you don't need to pay $8,800 for a wide receiver, but I mean, it's Tyreek Hill. From a cash perspective, like, you have guaranteed volume in a game where the Dolphins are a 30 total, and he pretty much didn't even play in the second half. I mean, like, Skylar Thompson.
Tyreek's floor-ceiling combination is literally unlike anybody else in the game right now. Like, a lot of people played Devontae over Tyreek, and it might have worked out fine, but I actually think, like, Tyreek is just a much better cash play in this current version of the Dolphins offense, especially in this matchup. Like,
I think Tyreek's that's true. Floor-ceiling combination right.
is off the charts. And I don't think people have, like, adjusted expectations for it. And so I will take the Tyreek Garrett Wilson over Keenan Godwin combo. Like, yeah, I mean, maybe that's bad, but I just think the ceiling floor combination is just so
did
much
you
better.
Guys see that there was a pretty popular four wide receiver team that people played?
There was a lot of people faded Walker.
A lot of people played a lot. I saw people played Adams in the flex.
Yep.
And from a macro perspective, like, just thinking macro wise, this is a slate.
Horrible. Those people somehow managed to lower IQ me on this slate, I think.
Dude, we had so much many running backs to choose from that had volume under 6K. Why aren't you playing? Like, dude, I played Kenny Walker, and it's like, I wouldn't have had a problem playing Perine. I wouldn't have had a problem, depending on the slate, to play Latavius Murray.
I was going to say, there are, like, if DraftKings allowed it, I think I would have played five running backs in cash this week. I would have played Kenny Walker over any of the 6K wide receivers. I would have slammed Latavius Murray in over the 4K wide receivers.
And Michael Carter. Can't forget about Michael Carter.
I mean, okay, like, let's remember, Michael Carter got hurt in this game, and his direct backup had 100 scrimmage yards and a touchdown. Like, it was not the dumbest. Like, the Carter thing wasn't the problem.
It was. You played Michael Carter over Kenneth Walker. That was objectively bad.
Well, I mean, yes, that wasn't. I didn't find a Walker team I liked. The 1v1 was Perine versus Carter.
You found a Walker team you liked. It was my team.
Fucking weather, man.
Could have played my team and scored 2 points lower than Nate. and I swept. I think I lost only 4 out of 80.
Yeah, head-to-head. Your team was the nuts. Your team was the nuts.
I had a sweep of head-to-heads.
You know what? I did look, and this absolute dog shit of a team that I played would have been able to scrape some back. But it honestly, like, I mean, you guys know, I do love a good Galaxy Brain swap. Like seeing multiple guys under 1% owned in the massive $50 double up, honestly, like, it was kind of tickling.
You know what killed you in the late swap? By playing three early running backs, because yeah. then you couldn't have swapped. If you would have
imagine
able to
I swapped
to Jacobs, you
it would have been
whatever.
it would have been like week two of 2019 where I had a team that was dead and I late swapped onto a Tyreek who got 50. I think I honestly late swapped so much just because of that one occurrence. So the late swap I ended up doing, there were a couple different angles I looked at. I don't know if any of them would have got me there. I guess would Herbert, Hollywood Brown, Palmer. In the end, none of them would have got there because the number one thing I couldn't do was I couldn't play the Chiefs defense. They were 75% owned, so playing any defense other than them could have gotten something. So I ended up swapping Geno, Keenan, Hopkins, Chiefs into Mahomes, Devontae Adams, Sky, and the Cardinals. Whatever. They didn't fucking do anything. I mean, Mahomes did get 22 with one touchdown, which is kind of impressive for a guy who doesn't really run. Like, I think he could have gotten 40, but the late games went so nuts. Like, all the and the chalk.
Josh Jacobs
so well.
Put up 51.
Yeah, really.
I'm really tilting. I had a tournament team that I swapped Jacobs for Hopkins because I was like, oh, I don't need as much leverage after this early slate.
Wow.
And that was a 40-point swap.
You don't love to see it.
Yeah, not good.
The one thing I was surprised is that the Kenyon Drake from last week didn't happen with Michael Carter, at least in the milli. Like, he was only like 13% owned. And I thought that maybe he'd be, I don't know. There were so many running backs this week.
That's the thing is that for him to get really steamed, like, there were only like three good running backs last week.
And then you decided to play the running back three on the Jets.
Well, he wasn't. He was the lead back until he got hurt. But
yeah. Knight was mixed in. Like,
yeah, Knight. I mean, before he got hurt, Knight was playing more than I expected. I will absolutely eat that. It wasn't good.
Here's the question: did we all screw up by not playing? I mean, obviously, there's tons of running backs. I like Kenny Walker, but James Conner is like on the field like 98% of the time in this game that has one of the higher totals on the slate. Like,
no,
I played him in GPP.
He's so bad.
Yeah, but I mean, does it matter when you're getting like 90% of the rushes
and
18% target share?
He fumbled twice in this game. Unbelievable stuff. No,
that's,
I mean,
25 points. Who cares?
I should have considered Connor more for tournaments, but in cash, I didn't really consider him.
So Levitan played the four wide receiver team. So he basically decided to play Keenan Allen instead of one of P. Ryan Walker.
Yeah.
I just don't think there's
on this slate.
This dude played Treylon Burks over Garrett Wilson and still won. That's how good. That's how good.
I'm gonna read his article and he's gonna go, like, I'm gonna look at the score and it's like, you scored 30 points lower than me.
He had 145. It was a good team.
Okay, but whatever. I mean, all I know is that it's going to be a score much lower than mine, and he's going to go down. I'm going to look down. It's like week 12, 178% of my head-to-heads. I go, who the hell are you playing?
Well, he gets the best. Levitan does get the best action. But, I mean, I actually, after looking at that team, I mean, I never would have played Keenan Allen straight up over Kenneth Walker, but it's not as bad as I thought.
To play four wide receivers and not one of them be T seems...
What's up with your obsession with T. Higgins?
T. Higgins was the wide receiver of the slate. He was the best wide receiver on the whole slate.
Zay Jones outscored him.
I don't care what happened. At noon, I said to Davis, you have an awful lineup by fading T. Period. T. Higgins was, regardless of outcome, the best wide receiver play on the slate. The fact that people played four wide receivers in cash, faded Kenneth Walker, and didn't play T is nuts.
He only got nine targets. Like, it wasn't.
I'm saying regardless of outcome, T. Higgins on this slate at that price.
You know, his target share has historically been better with Chase in than with him out.
Davis, this is like the middle IQ meme.
That is you're so middle like, IQ. I mean, he was a good play, but in my mind, if you were going to be like this crazy, unbelievable, if you don't play him, you are like zero RQ. You got to be a dude who gets targets at all levels. Like, it's got to be like Adams or Tyreek, where like Devontae Adams had his worst possible game pretty much and had 7 for 74. Like, T doesn't get the short area stuff that just like loads him up with 5 for 50 every game. Like, T's
6,900.
His average depth of target is just going to mean that he's got more variance built in than a lot of these really elite wide receivers.
If I lock in Higgins into my aggregate, the lineup would be Geno, Allen, Higgins, Tyreek, Murray, White, Wilson Jr., Hurst, Chiefs. That isn't a bad lineup.
Is that what I had?
No, because you had. Yeah, this doesn't go down to Garrett Wilson. But essentially, this lineup, in comparison to the one that I played, is essentially playing Kenny Walker over Higgins and not playing Hill and paying down for Hopkins. I mean, it's and then instead of Murray, you're playing, you know, you have Kenny Walker in your lineup. Like the difference in projection is not that dramatic. And it's like, even if you take out Tyreek and you're like, I don't want to even pay up to Tyreek in this lineup, and then I run it again, I mean, the lineup ends up being Tua, Carter, White, Wilson, Allen, Higgins, Andrews, Wilson Jr., Chiefs, and that one wouldn't have gotten.
Fantasy sports are fucking dumb, dude. I don't care.
It was a like, I'm fine with Nate, you know, sucking.
No, here's the thing. I can't deal with another week of Sammy refusing to take this L on getting lucky with fucking Daniel Jones last week. Like, I just can't.
I had Daniel Jones last week.
Oh, all right. Muted. Kicking Blender. Kicking. Except here's the thing. Blender wouldn't come back to us with, wow, you say you can't play him with the torn UCL. Like, he would just be like, no, Daniel Jones.
No, I did it for lineup construction reasons. I'll at least admit that I would have rather played Allen, but last week I preferred paying down so I didn't have to. It's the same thing. I don't want to have to punt with these 4K wide receivers if I can. I'm like, okay, I'll take a shot on Daniel Jones, and I got lucky.
There we go. All right.
I get your avoidance of 4K punts. I just think both Treylon and Garrett Wilson this week.
That's the thing, is those guys are better than the average. Like, they're both going to be like 5,300 next week.
It's not DPJ that we're paying 4K.
It's not who's that shitty Washington football team wide receiver? I mean, any of them. There's been a bunch of them. Like, DeAndre Carter used to be there. Dax Milne, De'Ami Brown. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not Braxton Berrios.
Yeah, Treylon and Garrett Wilson are both like legit NFL wide receivers. So,
all right, let's just get tournament teams done real quick. This is the team I played in the spy. No, this was in the red zone. I played Patrick Mahomes at 9%, Kenneth Walker at 29%, Rashad White at 56%. He was my on Christmas morning. You don't wait to open your Christmas presents. Play. I played him on every team, and he didn't score. Whatever. Godwin at 7%, Treylon Burks at 18%. That was higher than I thought. I did not think Burks would get that steamed in tournaments. That was a little surprising to me. Sky Moore at 4%, Travis Kelce at 12%. I also thought was strange, since I thought he was like potential. I thought he would be more. I thought he'd be like 20-25%. And I mean, you guys know I had to play Kenyon Drake, aka Michael Carter, 20%, and the Jets defense at 26%. I played the Jets defense in every tournament team I made, under the assumption that Nathan Peterman was going to be starting. And I mean, if I had known it was Trevor Siemian, I would have just stuck to what I had built originally. So I think that I got rugged. I think Adam Schefter rugged me. I think the news industrial complex rugged me.
I think if you would have just signed off of your phone at 11 a.m., you would have probably.
I'd have been rich. Yeah. Because I had a bunch of Godwin, which was nice, and Sky played a ton, so I actually feel really good about that. Sky was in there; he got like some handoffs. He was in there on a trick play. I felt pretty strongly that one of the 3K wide receivers with Mahomes was going to end up being a thing, but they scored one touchdown, and when you score one touchdown as a team, you're not going to be the winning stack.
Yeah, those Sky Dynasty shares looking.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good. So I had a team. I went with a Geno Walker and Fant stack, and originally I brought it back with Jacobs, but I don't know why I was late swapping, and I swapped off of Jacobs onto Hopkins. I had Latavius Murray, Tyreek Hill, DJ Moore, Nico Collins, and also went with Jets D just because, I mean, defense to me, it was like anybody was in play other than the Chiefs in tournament.
I didn't think the Jets would get that owned just because it's hard for a $3,300 defense to really get that owned.
I know, being 30% owned when the Chiefs were, I thought the Chiefs were going to be mega owned.
Both, you're so, both wrong.
Yeah.
Why are we wrong?
I played the Chiefs in almost every one of my lines.
Well, yeah, but you're a
defensive scoring. Defensive scoring is the most like volatile. We are least able to project it.
Are you saying you did that because the Jets ended up getting steamed? Like, was that your original plan, or you just did it because
they were doesn't 4 care points about higher projected than any? They should have been a 4K
Jordan,
defense.
On, Jordan, on I'm literally
4 points
I'm gonna
on
return,
defense is bad.
I'm returning your book. I'm returning the theory of DFS. If you're gonna come on my fucking show and tell people to play 50% on defenses,
50% on defenses that only project 1 point higher than anything else, then yeah, don't play that.
But we know defensive projections suck ass,
and we also know that
your dog could do defensive projections. Just
didn't
ask
we
him
have
who
this
you
conversation last time? It's about lineups. Not players. Should you play the Chiefs defense with Rashad White and Jeff Wilson Jr. and like no, that I'd agree with. But if you're off enough, there's no reason to play like the same reason that you would say we project. Yes, defensive scoring is much wider range of outcomes, but it's very rare you find a defense that projects 4 points higher than any other defense. And it's 1,200 cheaper. It projected higher than the Dolphins, the higher than the 49ers. So like, as long as I could, I wasn't going to play. This is the thing. When I built my lineups, I made a rule. I built 18 of them that I wasn't going to play Jeff Wilson Jr. and Rashad White together. Because once I don't do that, and I'm also playing small, I'm playing the power sweep. I'm playing the spy, that those types of contests, not the milli or anything. So it's like, okay, as long as I get my combinatorial ownership low enough, like a $2,800 defense, what am I? I'd rather spend down at defense, but why am I? What am I going to play the Jaguars at $2,500 that project for 4.5-5 points lower than the Chiefs for no reason when my lineup without the defense already has enough leverage for me to win first place? So like my lineup, my best lineup in the power sweep. 35th place, Herbert, Allen, Everett. Herbert was 14, Allen was 28, Everett was 11. I ran it back with 9% owned James Conner. And then I had Higgins at 27 and Burks at 16, so that's a 1-1 combination. And then I played Rashad White at 55, Walker at 28, and the Chiefs defense at 39%.
No, there's absolutely no way. No. There's absolutely no way you can convince me, because you can, because defenses are just, it's mostly random. You can start out with a 5-point advantage on 40% of your opponents, like immediately.
No, you can't. We project defenses.
We don't, though. Well, we do, but we do it terribly. We project defenses the way that, like,
and my margin of error on the defenses is 4 points on any other defense. So we project it terribly. But what we do normally is that a defense that projects for like 1 or 1.5 points better than something else becomes 35% owned. And that disparity isn't worth it. I thought that the disparity in the Chiefs defense was worth playing at 40% ownership. As long as the rest of your lineup, and my method of doing so was just making sure I didn't play White and Wilson Jr. together. As long as I didn't do that, I ran my portfolio correlation matrix, and the Chiefs defense didn't come up in as high as it should. Once you plug in those three together, then next thing you know, now even if you stack and run back, you end up with very similar, like, groups of players that other lineups will have. So it's like, which is my priority, the defense or the running back combination? And I saw with how many running backs we had available, if this was a slate where we only had like White and Wilson Jr. were like, those were the chalk, and like all the other running backs were like efficiently priced. I'm like, why do I want to play two chalk running backs together when there's like 5 to choose from, 7 to choose from? So like, when I see that the 4-point difference in defense, I go, okay, my decision is to, I'll stay, instead of being different at defense, I'm just going to be different at running back more than that. And that's all you have to do. If you chose to play the two running backs together and said, I'm going to play some other defense, then I think you're fine also. But it's not just, do you play a 40% owned defense? Like that should never, just like, should you play a 28% owned Keenan Allen? Well, maybe not as a one-off in a chalky lineup, but once you play Herbert, Allen, Everett, especially Everett on DraftKings, and you run it back with Connor, that group of four players, who cares that Allen's 28%? He's correlated.
But I think that's such a, I think those two things are completely unrelated, because we have a much greater certainty, not only of how many points Keenan will score, but we have a much better certainty on how much the people who are priced similarly to him and who are eligible at his same position are going to score. At defense, not only do we not have a clue really how many defensive points the Chiefs are going to score, but we also don't know with any certainty. Like you say, like, yes, they're projected 4 points better, or whatever, but our ability to project these other defenses are so bad that I don't trust that gap at all.
The gap is wider than what it normally is. Like, what I'm saying is that gap is much wider than what it normally is.
It doesn't matter. The 4-point projection in the mean outcome is meaningless, because the range of outcomes on all other defenses similar are so high that your confidence
interval. Why project them at all? Why are we projecting them at all?
I think that's a fair question.
We really shouldn't be.
I think most people in their models would do much better if they just simulated 1 through 11, a range of outcomes on defense, and they just assigned that randomly to teams, because we are so bad at projecting defense that the range of outcomes, it's so much higher than a wide receiver projection, or so much wider than a running back projection. So like, I get what you're saying of like, hey, if I play this cumulative ownership, but when it comes to defense specifically, you just don't want to get a 40% owned defense, because you are going to just stick with the field at the most volatile
position. Do you use defense agnostic projections? Meaning that do you set the defense projections so that all of them have the same point per dollar value? Like the Blitz have defense agnostic, which means that it doesn't matter what defense you play. You're going to get the requisite amount of points for the salary adjusted value of it. If you say you do that, then that's perfectly, your opinion is we cannot project defenses anywhere close that it's not even worth projecting. So I'm just going to use a defense agnostic projection. But if you're going to project defenses, then not use it, then what's the point? Like, You do one or the other.
Those are two completely different things. You're asking whether or not a defense affects the outcome of an offensive player
because
on the other side.
You're projecting different. You're
scoring.
Projecting different things. Defensive scoring has very little to do with how defenses impact the other offense from generating
David,
their
production. What I'm saying, Davis, at Daily Roto, do you have defensive projections? Does a the defense?
Yeah. It's basically which
point scoring of the defense doesn't affect the way that offensive players going against those defenses matter. So like you might have a defense that's really great at sacks and interceptions and they might score really highly, but that doesn't mean that wide receivers versus them are bad matchup.
I'm talking about, is there a column on Daily Roto where I could go that there's a number on the Chiefs? And if I looked at the number on the Bears, it would be a different number and be less point per dollar value. Like, do you have a number?
Yeah.
And you have
but I'm not saying that they're infallible. In fact, I would say that what Nate's saying is like, honestly, I think probably the right way right now with the tools we have to do defensive stuff would just be project the number of pass attempts every defense is going to face and just wait every pass attempt, basically.
Well, what would I tell you?
What,
if
you're
I,
really
what would
trying
I tell
to project
you that I what would I tell you if I spoke to two people that do computer sims? High-level GPP players that they were getting in their sims 90-plus percent Chiefs defense.
I'd say the sims are only as good as the data you put in, and the defensive data is bunk.
Okay, and what I'm saying is that the difference between the projections, I believe, I'm just saying, you could say you don't agree, you think they're even wider, but you have to admit on this specific slate, compared to other slates on defense, we'll get a $2,600 defense.
The margin was so they were both, they were the combination of both the highest projected defense by a lot, and they were not even close to expensive. I'm not saying I don't think that what you did is bad. I'm just saying the way I play, and just as a heuristic, because again, I'm not using sims to generate these teams. Like Brett, it's what Brick always says, right? He's like, you know, you're basically doing astrology, which I am, but I'm doing astrology with like a little bit of inputs. Like, so a couple of things is like, oh, I'm not going to play the most owned stack most times. Or if I am going to play the most owned stack, because it just happens to be Mahomes and I play him every time he's on the slate, I'm going to do something really weird with it. I'm not going to play 40% owned defenses because it's so easy for them to not be the highest owned.
But
whatever.
You're doing that heuristic. Basically, you can find lineups that you would like that have the Chiefs defense, but you're choosing to ignore those lineups to choose other lineups. So I just chose the set of lineups that you ignored that may have the same expected value as your lineups. You just, as a heuristic,
you guys saw me play this week. I don't know if there was a good expected value lineup I would have found. So I think you probably did the right thing by not having any overlap with me on your Chiefs defensive special teams thinking. I mean, it's honestly one of those things that I feel with all of the math and the tools and stuff that we know, I don't think that the person who's right or wrong between Nate and I's camp, and like, I literally don't think we know the answer. I don't think our ability to send these slates out and stuff is in depth enough yet. Now, maybe a year from now, one of these fucking nerds who plays DFS is going to have like solved the key to figuring out defensive scoring, and the RSQ will be way higher, and we'll do all these sims, and we'll know like, actually sometimes it is you should. I also have noticed, Jordan, that in some of these slates where there is a defense that is projected crazy like that, I actually have noticed that historically the sim bros tend to be higher on those defenses than, you know, idiots,
right,
like
we're
me.
We're just
like
arguing over gaps. To me, that's your camp is that the gap on defensive projecting defense is so wide that even a 4-point gap isn't as large as you think it is. And my belief is that compared to other slates, when I see a 4-point gap compared to a 1-point gap, I'm more likely to lean and go, I think 4 points is enough of a gap. I should be doing it. And what happens if the gap actually is 7? Like, there's going to be a point, Nate, where even the way that you project defenses, if you had a projected defense at 27 points and everyone else's defense was projecting at 8, like, for whatever reason, that wasn't a data error or something, you would have to admit that,
there is a certain way that the heuristic fails, but it's so far beyond the current scope of the game that.
Right. So we're just arguing scale. So that if we're arguing scale, I'm fine with accepting your thing of 4 points isn't enough for you. And you have to at least accept the fact that I believe 4 points is enough for me. And we're just arguing over where that gap is.
Here, I would have played the Jets defense against Peterman at the ownership projection that the Chiefs was at. So that's my scale, because I basically would have started that defense with 10 points because Peterman is like literally a fucking lock to throw a pick six.
Davis, interceptions are so volatile. And like,
are they volatile? Are they volatile with Nathan Peterman, bro? I'm not so sure
they are.
That Nathan Peterman
are.
Interceptions. Are, I mean, Nathan Peterman has 135 dropbacks in his NFL career and 12 interceptions. I don't think that Nathan Peterman's range of outcomes is that volatile. I would have laid -200 to bet over 0.5 Nathan Peterman interceptions, I think.
There's a lot better things to bet on in life than whether or not you think you can assess whether or not a QB who's thrown less than 200 dropbacks in his life is interception prone. We don't even know how many pass attempts the Bears were going to throw if it was going to be Peterman. They're not going to drop him back 35 times. Like, there's so many things that add to interception volatility that, like, it's just a fool's game. It just go gamble on roulette. I mean,
sounds great. Honestly, after today, why the fuck not? What's the difference? All right. That's all I got. Jordan, you got anything else?
No, we had our argument. We made fun of you. Both me and Nate. Yeah, Nate beat me by 2 points. We both pretty much trucked you. And yeah, and then we have to wait. What the question is, what would have Sammy played?
He played.
Unfortunately, Sammy played my team. So we can't really dunk on Sammy.
Sammy's been this year. It seems like Sammy's actually like playing real teams. Like, I remember.
Here's the thing. He didn't play a real team because I told him about the weather in New York today and about how T's projection changed. He was clueless. He had no idea. So no,
I don't think he realized that James Robinson was even ruled out. He was like, Michael Carter. Why would anybody play Michael Carter?
Dude, in the past, I remember episodes last year, years where both Davis, Nate, you guys would play like a team that I would go, it's reasonable. Maybe it's not my team, but it's reasonable. And Sammy would come out with like some 6v6 and be like paying up at tight end when no one is, paying down at tight end when no one is, paying for a receiver that's 3% owned.
Yeah,
like, I like those episodes.
He just does. He just does what he wants to do. You know, we love that for him. Okay, that's Sammy. We hope that you are enjoying, just not being on the show. We'll of course we'll all be back next week. Everyone, thank you for Jordan. Make sure you thank him for filling in for Sammy so that he keeps doing it. I'm gonna go lick my wounds. I'm gonna send a letter to Mark Andrews and ask him why he hates me, just like really nicely. I'm just gonna be like, Mark, why? What did I ever do? You know, you went
would
to Oklahoma.
Would you have gone there even if he caught that touchdown?
I would not have swapped, and the additional 8 points from that and not swapping would have gotten me above the 4 wide receiver Levitan team, because I think the team I unswapped off of was 137 and the 4 wide receiver team was 135. So it would have gotten there. Would have been very close. Not that I'm mad or that I checked it or that I'm like concerned about it at all. You know,
you're just
fine.
Making it worse, Davis. You're just making
it
worse. Just
it's all good. Everyone, we'll be back next week and hopefully in better spirits. See y'all then.